At first, it was just a large patch of gray on the otherwise dark water. Yet, as they flew closer, the gray sharpened to become dozens of parallel white lines, as distinct as chalk marks on a blackboard. They were the wakes of an armada of ships, driving eastward as fast as it could. From the Condor's altitude, the ships looked as plodding as elephants traveling in a herd.
"There must be 200 ships out there," Ebelhard estimated.
"Enough to keep the Reds fighting for months,"
the pilot agreed, then shouted to his radio man, Corporal Josef Dietz.
"Josef, how's it coming with the radio?"
"I have nothing but static."
Static was a common enough problem, working this far above the Arctic Circle. Charged particles striking the Earth's magnetic field were driven to ground at the poles and played havoc with the radio's vacuum tubes.
"We'll mark our position," Lichtermann said, "and radio in a report when we get closer to base. Hey, Ernst, well done. We would have turned away and missed the convoy if it weren't for you."
"Thank you, sir."
Pride was evident in the boy's response.
"I want a better count of the convoy's size and a rough approximation of their speed."
"Let's not get so close that those destroyers open up," Ebelhard cautioned.
He had seen combat firsthand and was flying second stick now because of a piece of shrapnel buried in his thigh, thanks to anti-aircraft fire over London. He recognized the look in Lichtermann's eye and the excitement in his voice.
"And don't forget the CAMs."
CAMs, or Catapult Aircraft Merchantmen, were the Allies' answer to German aerial reconnaissance. A long rail was mounted over the bows of a freighter, and, with a rocket assist, they could launch a Hawker Sea Hurricane fighter aircraft to shoot down the lumbering condors or even attack surfaced U-boats. Ernst Kessler was counting rows of ships when winking lights suddenly appeared on the decks of two of the destroyers.
"Captain!" he cried. "Fire from the convoy!"
A perfectly aimed string of 7.7mm machine gun rounds raked the Condor's upper surface, starting at the base of the vertical stabilizer and walking up the entire length of the plane. Dietz, who manned the upper gun platform, was killed before he could get a shot off. Bullets penetrated the cockpit, and, amid the harsh patter of them ricocheting off metallic surfaces and the whistle of wind through rents in the fuselage, Lichtermann heard his co-pilot grunt in pain. He looked over to see the front of Ebelhard's flight jacket covered in blood. Lichtermann mashed the rudder and pressed hard on the yoke to dive away from the Allied aircraft that had come out of nowhere. It was the wrong maneuver. Launched just weeks earlier, the MV Empire McAlpine was a late addition to the convoy. Originally built as a grain carrier, the 8,000-ton vessel had spent 5 months in the Burntisland shipyard having her superstructure replaced by a small control island, 460 feet of runway, and a hangar for four fairly swordfish torpedo bombers. She could still haul nearly as much grain as she could before her conversion. The Admiralty had always considered the CAMs a stopgap measure until a safer alternative could be found. As it was, the merchant aircraft carriers, or MACs, like the McAlpine, were to be used only until England secured a number of Essex-class escort carriers from the United States. While the Condor loitered over the convoy, two of the Swordfish had been launched from the McAlpine and flown far enough out from the fleet that when they climbed into the inky sky to ambush the much larger and faster German aircraft, Lichtermann and his men never knew they were coming. The Fairleys were biplanes, with top speeds barely half that of the Condor. They each carried a Vickers machine gun, mounted above the radial engine's cowling, and a gimbaled Lewis gun in a rear-facing cockpit. The second Swordfish lay in wait 3,000 feet below the Focke-Wulf and was nearly invisible in the darkness. As the Condor dove away from the first attacker, the second torpedo bomber, stripped of anything that could slow it, was in position.